Someone said many years ago that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can be summed up in two words. I've said this often since I heard it the first time, and I've heard you preach it again and again, that the gospel can be summed up in two words, substitution and satisfaction. That's what we read a while ago in the book of Isaiah. Christ, our substitute, made full satisfaction for all of our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, for took our place. He was wounded for our transgression. And by his stripes, we are healed. Also, another two words that sum up the gospel are these. Just. He must be just. He is just. He's the just one. And he's the justifier. God hath made him, in our place, room, and stead, our justifier. But it's not only on the cross that Christ is our substitute and satisfaction. It's not only on the cross that Christ is the just one and the justifier. It's not only on the cross that Jesus Christ represented his people. He represented them from the Garden of Eden when God said to Satan, "He'll bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel." And not only from the garden, but to the cradle when he was made of a woman. When he was made of a woman, bore our iniquities and sins in his body. And on the cross and also to the crown. He's our satisfaction and our substitute. From the garden to the manger, to the cross, and to the crown. Jesus Christ represented a covenant people. Jesus Christ accomplished all and everything that God required of you and me. Jesus Christ stood in our place instead, way before the foundation of the world. For then God said, "He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." All the way to the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so I want to show you something this morning. I preached this message only twice before. The first time was up at Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. The second time I felt led of God to preach it was at Wheelersburg, Ohio. Christ, our substitute and our satisfier, our just and justified one. I preached it many times, but not in this order. I believe I have something here, and I want you to listen very carefully and weigh every word carefully now. I want you to turn first of all to the book of Luke. Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 4, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, all right, it says here in Luke 2, verse 4, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered of her son. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Watch this now. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Think of this. This is the Son of God we're talking about. This is the Lamb of God. This is the desire of all nations. This is the promised Messiah. But there's no room for him. There's no room for him. He was in the world, and the world didn't want him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. But they didn't know him. He came to his own nation. He was of the house and lineage of David. Joseph was. So was Mary. And so is he, the son of David. But there's no room for him. Jesus Christ. There was no room for Jesus Christ. He began his earthly ministry an outcast. Unwanted. Unwelcome. Unrecognized. That's when he started on this road. No room for him there. Absolutely no room. Why? Because he came to redeem outcasts. He came to redeem those that are unwelcome, unwanted, unrecognized. He came to redeem them. And from the time that we fell in the Garden of Eden, Almighty God put a flaming sword before that garden. Let's look it up. Let's look it up here in Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24. Listen to this. Genesis 3, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent Adam and his posterity, sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword turned every way to keep the way of life. Jesus Christ was not allowed to be born in Bethlehem. They put him outside the walls, outside the city. He was not allowed to die in Jerusalem. He was crucified outside the walls, without the camp. He had to go to the wilderness to buy you and I, to redeem us, the outcast. Unwanted, unwelcome, unrecognized, an outcast, but he came to save his people who were of the same nature. They barred, one old writer wrote this, they barred a bed to lay his head, a manger, when the Lord of glory came down. They barred an ass on the mountain pass for him to ride to town. But the crown, the thorny crown that he wore and the cross that he bore, they were his own. They were his. They were his. All right, here's the second scripture. No room for him in the inn. Unwanted, unwelcomed, unrecognized. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. It says here in verse 21. Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now Isaiah called him, his name, Wonderful. Who's this Jesus? Isaiah called him the Counselor. Isaiah called him the Mighty God. Isaiah called him the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What meaneth this name? Call him Jesus. I'll tell you why. Call him Jesus because he was made like his brethren. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Listen to this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, called his name Jesus. Not wonderful, counsel of mighty God, Jesus. Listen, he took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This name, Jesus, is his name of humanity. He was a man. This man named Jesus, this is his name of humiliation. This is the name where he became flesh. Call his name Jesus because he came from a mother's womb, just like you and me. Call his name Jesus, for he lay in a manger, no room in the inn, and nurtured and nourished from a mother's breast. Call his name Jesus, because as he grew up, he was subject to his parents. He worked as a carpenter. Call his name Jesus, for he walked this earth as a man. Call his name Jesus. I don't understand this, but I know it's true. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. And he was a real man. Not wonderful, counselor, the mighty God. Jesus. Jesus. Call his name Jesus because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Call his name Jesus, because as Jesus, he never performed one single miracle to relieve his own needs. When he was thirsty, he asked a woman to give him something to drink. When he was thirsty, he cried from the cross, "I thirst." That's right. When Jesus Christ wore out, he sat on a well and sent his disciples to get him something to eat. You see what I'm trying to say? Call his name Jesus. When he was weary with his journey, he sat down to rest. Because he's a man. And so they barred a bed where he laid his head. And they barred the bread when the crowd he fed on that grassy mountainside. Anybody here have any food? Little boy's got some loaves and fishes. Well, we'll use those. They barred the dish of little fish when the 5,000 were satisfied. But that thorny crown that he wore and that cross that he bore, they were his own. All right, one more. Look at Luke chapter 2. Call his name Jesus. Luke chapter 2 again. Call his name Jesus. He's going to do something for his people. He's going to deliver them, save them, redeem them by his blood. Call his name Jesus. All right. Luke 2 verse 20. Luke 2 verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when this man Jesus, when he was 8 days old, when the 8 days were accomplished for his circumcision, for Jesus Christ is circumcised. Circumcision belongs to the sons of Abraham. He's the Son of God. Circumcision refers to a covenant of mercy. He needs no mercy. Circumcision refers to guilt. He's immaculate and holy. Circumcision refers to cleansing. He had no sin. But I tell you what he did. He did for us. He obeyed the law that was in force at that time in every jot and tittle. And as soon as he was born, 8 days later, he shed his blood. As soon as he was born, he shed his blood. For though he were a son, he learned obedience with the things he suffered. Christ Jesus was circumcised. As it was his custom, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. As it was his custom, he kept the Passover every year until that last one. Until that last one. Because he said, I always do those things that please my Father. Because he's our substitute. He's our substitute. All right. No room in the inn. Call him Jesus, not the mighty God, not the everlasting Father. Call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. Call his name Jesus because he shed his blood in circumcision. Now here's the next one. Turn to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. I'm preaching substitution this morning. You talk about substitution and satisfaction. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus. Who? Jesus. From Galilee to Jordan unto John. Brother Tom, look at this. To be baptized. To be baptized of John. And John forbade him. I don't blame him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Our Lord made this statement. Listen, suffer it be so. For thus it becometh us, me taking your place, becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. The Son of God, standing in Jordan's river, to be baptized as a sinner. That's right. You see, baptism is for sinners. You don't baptize people that aren't sinners. You baptize those who are sinners. Let me show you this scripture in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. Luke 7, verse 29. And all the people, Luke 7, 29, all the people that heard him and the publicans who heard John the Baptist justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees rejected what did they reject? The baptism? Yes, but they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. They would not take their place as a sinner. They would not take their place as a sinner. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Baptism is the baptism of repentance. I'm a sinner. I need mercy and grace. Baptism says, I need to die. I need to be buried and rise again. Baptism says, I justify God in all his charges against me. What has this to do with our Savior? Substitution. Substitution, that's right. Suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. All right. No room for him in the end, unwanted. Call him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He saved his people from their sins. He shed his blood in circumcision, and he was baptized. And somebody wrote this hymn one time. Is this anyone who can help us? Who can give a sinner peace? when his heart is burdened down with pain and woe? Is anyone who can help us, who can speak a word of pardon that affords a sweet release, whose blood can wash us white as snow? There's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. And when afflictions press the soul and waves of trouble roll, is anyone who can save us? Yes, there's one. His name is Jesus. All right, one more. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 9. Our substitute. Our substitute. Luke 22, 39. Listen to this. And there he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was come, when he was at the place, he said to his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. And he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, not my will, but thy will be done. There appeared unto him angels, appeared an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, the Son of God in human form, in human nature, is in agony. And being in agony, he prayed. He prayed earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What in the world is this? What is this? It's our Lord. Listen, all the sins of all the elect of all ages were laid on him, and he's about to be crushed under the full judgment of Almighty God. All the shame and guilt and sinfulness and iniquity of our sins had plunged his soul into the deepest agony, and blood flowed from the pores of his skin because he was made sin for us. Made sin. All right, read on now, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 33. Listen to this. Matthew 27, verse 33. Matthew 27, 33. Here it is. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to play, say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon their my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him. This is the final, final, awesome, awful display of human iniquity and depravity as our Lord suffered and died on that cross. And they sat there and watched him. Watched him. But I'll tell you, there was a fella that was sitting in that crowd watching, looking in a different spirit and attitude, seeing that man die on that cross. You know who it was? The other disciples had gone, you know, and everybody forsook him and fled. But there was a man in that crowd that was sitting out there, and he was watching that man die on that cross, and he had a totally different attitude and outlook than anybody there. You knew who it was? It was a man called Barabbas. Old Barabbas. Well, Barabbas, you see, Barabbas was a thief and a murderer. And they had sentenced Barabbas to die on that cross. There were two other thieves, and there was Barabbas, and they were all going to die on their crosses. There's three of them supposed to be crucified. And Barabbas was down there in the dungeon. And Pilate was up here, and Jesus was before Pilate. And they were trying him. And Pilate said, it's customary for the ruler to give up one prisoner. He said, give up one prisoner, let him go. Would you want me to give you Barabbas or let him go and crucify Jesus? They said, crucify Jesus. And they began to take it up. Let him be crucified. And I can imagine, take Lazarus back, and he's down there in that dungeon, had his chains around his arms and legs and in the dungeon, and he heard that crowd hollering, give us Barabbas! There's thousands of them out there. Give us Barabbas! And he cringed. And Pilate said to him, what do we do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? Let him be crucified! That's all they heard. That's all Barabbas heard. He heard him say, give us Barabbas, let him be crucified. Well, time passed, and our Lord was nailed to the cross, and some of those soldiers walked down to the dungeon, and they walked up to Barabbas' cell, and he backed off against the wall, you know, trying to hide himself from. And they came in, all these soldiers, and they took off his chains and dropped them, and took off his leg irons and dropped them, and they laid him outside. First time he'd seen the sun from that old dungeon cell, he walked out and looked, and there was the sun shining, you know, and these fellas said to Barabbas, you're free to go. He said, what? You're free to go? I'm supposed to be crucified. Oh, you didn't hear it? This man called Jesus is dying in your place. He's dying on your cross. You're free. You go home. I bet he didn't go home. Walked right up out on that hill and sat down with all those. They sat down. They sitting down. They watched him there. And Barabbas watched him too. I wonder if Barabbas followed this thing through. I did, by God's grace. You did. Followed this thing through. All of this happened. No room for him in the end. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people. Let him be circumcised. Let him be baptized. Let him suffer in agony. Nail him to a cross. Nail him to a cross. But they nailed him to my cross. He took my place. That's it. He took my place. Literally, actually took our place. Died in our stead. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. Washed it white as snow. Then, he went to the right hand of God and sat down. Having finished what he came to do. Paid it all. And interceded for us. That's our substitute. All right, that's our substitute, and that's our satisfaction. I pray the Lord use the message for his glory and for your good. Thank you, Pastor.